Okay, well, we're going to be looking at today, Bezra Hashem. At least going to begin looking at today, Bezra Hashem. We'll see if we finish or how far we get. But I'd like to look at the relationship between Yonatan and David, David and Yonatan, however you'd like to put it. And we'll touch also on the relationship with Shaul, but and get more into that. So go on, but we're going to start with Yonatan and David. I think it's a fascinating aspect of Sefer Shmuel, and a very, very important one. And we're going to try our best to promise to cover everything, but to at least to focus on some of the key points. And I think we're going to do, even though we're going to only look at very selected texts through them, to get a little bit of to focus on some keys that are critical for Sefer, I would say all Sefer Shmuel, but a very large part of Sefer Shmuel. Between, there are various segments, but over the next little bit. So, let's start with the following. I'm going to introduce the discussion with a pasuk, which is a very famous one, Shmuel Bet, Perk Aleph, Pasuk Chafav, which I think is critical. And don't worry, you're going to get the sheets, as Rashem, shortly. But no, meanwhile, you should take out your Tanakh.
Wait, Shmuel Aleph.
Shmuel Aleph. Shmuel Bet, Perk Aleph. Shmuel Bet, Perk Aleph. Pasuk Chafav. Okay. Sar li alecha achi Yonatan na'amta li ma'od niflata avatcha li me'avat nashim. And fascinating pasuk in which David sums up the relationship, and he says, Sar li alecha achi Yonatan na'amta li ma'od niflata avatcha li me'avat nashim. And Bezra Hashem, I'd like to try, by the time we finish this segment, to shed some light on what that means. In what sense? What does he mean by their relationship exceeding, surpassing that of Avat Nashim? What does David mean by that? And what is the significance of the way he refers to him here? Tzar li alecha achi Yonatan. So I'd like to put that pasuk on the back burner. We're going to come back to it. We're going to try and put it into perspective. But that's kind of our home base, even though it's just one pasuk. I think it kind of encapsulates so much of what we need to discuss. But the first text I'd like to really learn with you is Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf. Okay, if everyone could please turn to Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf. Pasuk Yud Chet. Okay, we'll start from Pasuk Yud Chet. A section that we're all familiar with, and one that is very relevant, and that is Machar Chodesh. Okay, section begins, Vayom lo Yonatan, Machar Chodesh, v'nifkarta ki paked moshevecha. Right? Famous Haftorah, famous section of Sefer Shmuel, and a very strange one. It's a section that I believe, if one reads at all carefully, one reads, paying any kind of attention, there are some major questions that immediately present themselves. So, we're going to do this in stages. Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf. Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf, starting from Pasuk Yud Chet. Okay, not just Pasuk Yud Chet, but starting from Pasuk Yud Chet. Okay, Machar Chodesh. Everyone have it? Yes. Okay, I'm going to ask everyone to take a few minutes to just learn from Pasuk Yud Chet on. That's the beginning of the section. Again, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud Chet, Machar Chodesh, and to read this narrative carefully, and to please take note of any important questions that you have.
Until what?
Okay.
I've read until what Pasuk.
Through Membet.
Can we possibly open a window or turn down the heat?
I can't get involved in these things. What I'd like to do now, for just a couple of minutes, is to go over what our questions are, what bothers us about this section, and then I'm going to give you a couple more sources to look at and ask you to think about the totality of it, and then I'm going to try to suggest a general direction, try to develop a general direction. Problems. What are the problems here? Yes?
So I just don't get Pesach Lamed so much. It's like, it's a weird comparison that Shaul...
I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I thought that was funny.
Well, some of it's like some of it, I think it's just an expression. In other words, I mean, it's a question of interpretation. But basically, he's saying that, you know, that Yonatan is not looking out for his own best interests and the best interests of his father, Shaul, right? And we'll discuss it more, but that's the basic idea. But what are the problems here? Yes?
Okay. Like, Yonatan's not doing Kibbutz Av, because, like, his father asks him to do something and he doesn't.
Okay, anyway, more of a halakh discussion. I'm not going to involve that right now. But, you know, we can discuss that, but it's just not the critical question here. Not everything that your parents ask you to do is kibbutz av, but that's, you know, I assume you know that. But but in any case, certainly Shaul is presenting it that way, right? But, okay. Yeah. What's problematic here?
When Shaul sees that David isn't there the first time, like when he sees it, he's not there, he like says like, I don't know, he makes an excuse like he's not there, why he's not there, and then like,
he can understand, okay, could be there are reasons why someone be, you know, not be present with me. It's Tom Mason, he won't come.
Obviously he doesn't get so upset then, but then when Yonatan gives him the answer, he gets really upset.
Right.
Like, if I said, like, why is this person in class, and, like, oh, they probably have a reason, but then I find out, like, why they're not there, I don't know, just change.
Okay. I think we can understand, it's like, okay, I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Didn't Shaul and David already have, like, problems now? So if Shaul saw that David wasn't there, wouldn't he, like, already be suspicious?
Yes, and he is. And Yonatan expects that he's going to, right?
Because then if Shaul saw that he wasn't there, then
why doesn't he get upset the first time? I mean, I think because there's a logical explanation the first day. You know, I mean, even
if you were like having a war with somebody,
right? Well, I don't, it's not quite
like,
as it's not quite as clear cut as that, though. And there's a lot of ambivalence here. You know what I'm saying? And we go back and forth. And you see, Shaul goes back and forth many times in terms of what his relationship with David is. But I was saying, it's an interesting observation. I don't know if the AC is a problem, but it's certainly an interesting observation. Yes, what do you have to say?
Okay, so I'm assuming that this is, I don't know, I'm just probably wrong, but it's odd that, like, Yonatan, it sounds as if, like, he's saying, like, he's saying, David, like, leave, right, for 3 days, and then we'll see what happens. But why specifically Rosh Chodesh? Like, why is Rosh Chodesh such a guitar and, like, introducing like this entire speech, like what's the point of
that? I think the point of the Rosh Chodesh is that's, you know, that's an occasion for getting together and for everyone being together, and that's where David's absence would be significant.
But that his absence on Rosh Chodesh wasn't noted as much as the other ones.
Not the first day of Rosh Chodesh. Not right away. On the first day, so not, but by the second day it was.
But it said, it's the second day of the month.
I understood to mean that it was the next day, which was the second day of Rosh Chodesh. But okay, I think that's how John answered it, but I could be wrong. Yeah?
First of all, when Yonatan like suddenly says, like, oh, and now I realize like my father was trying to kill David, like he didn't know beforehand. Like, why was he put such, like, to
save
him if he didn't really know what his father was
doing? Right. I think, again, that we have to put in the context of the ambivalence of the relationship. In other words,
why is he going to such lengths to save David?
Wise who? Yonatan?
Yeah.
Why is Yonatan going to say, well, this is his best friend. What do you mean?
But it's his fault. I don't know. It's just really weird.
Okay. We have to clarify the relationship, clearly.
So when did they become friends? Like yesterday? Oh, I'm gonna
no, not yesterday. Not yesterday. Not yesterday.
Friends?
Long time ago. Okay. Beseder. Okay, what else? Yeah, I think that's some
can
of the
like,
really
like
big things. Well, I'll tell you what bothers me here. One small thing and one big thing. Okay? The big thing that bothers me about the whole story, I don't know, I think you people raised a lot of interesting points, but what strikes me as glaring, like really, really glaring, is the following. There are two halves to the story. Okay? There are two halves to the story, essentially. There is the, what I'll call part, you know, part one I'll call the plan. Okay? And then there's part two, which is whatever you like to label, but that's like the, you know, the actual action, right? Everyone understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are two stages. I'm not talking about the part with, you know, Yonatan and Shaul, but I'm saying between Yonatan and Dov, there are two different interactions. In the first stage, there's this elaborate plan that's worked out, right? I'll shoot the arrows, I'll tell the servant this, and then if I say this, then it's a signal for that and that. They have this whole system of signals and codes and secret messages and ways for David to communicate. I'm sorry, here's my mental block against names comes in. Let me try again. Yonatan has all these, this whole elaborate plot, whole system of codes and you know, ways of getting across to David what the situation is without actually communicating with David, so that it would be a secret that that David was there and they was communicating, etc. Right? They work out this whole elaborate plan. If I tell him that, you know, the arrow is there, then you'll know that this is the situation. If I tell him the arrow is there, you know, this is the situation. And David and Yonatan are not going to meet and are not going to communicate, and no one's going to know at all what's going on, because no one, you know, the only person that's there is the servant. The servant's not going to know what it, you know, he's going to think that they're just doing their target practice, and he's just saying, oh, the arrow's there, and that's it. And no one's going to be the wiser. And they have this whole plan worked out that there's a lot of space devoted to, right? We're told in great detail this whole story about what the plan is. And then what becomes of that plan? What becomes of that plan? In the end, what happens? Do they use this whole system of codes and signals?
No.
No, in the end, Yonatan gets rid of his servant. David, right, he goes and meets David, and they have a whole chat. What happened? And there are two possibilities. One possibility is that the circumstances dramatically change. But I'm not so sure that it says anything in the Pesukim about a change in circumstances from the beginning to the end. I don't think it says anything about a change in circumstances. We're not told anything about how things are different than anticipated. I looked for it. I didn't find any mention of it, any hint. And if the change in circumstance, the fact that the plan didn't work out for some reason is important to us, and therefore, you know, I mean, if it's not important, you know, if the whole fact that the plan doesn't work out and the things change isn't important, why are we told about the whole plan? Why are we told about all of this? And then, anyhow, they just end up having a talk. Why do we need to know all of this about the Havmi and the Maskana? And like, you know, and it's so important that things change, but we're not even told that it changes, or how it changes, or what changes. And if it didn't change, if nothing changed, then again we don't understand. So why did they stick to the plan? And if the plan isn't important or isn't necessary, so why do they have it? And why does the Navi tell us about it? It just doesn't, the two halves of the story just don't fit together. Does everyone understand what bothers me here? Every time we read this Haftorah, I always was bothered by this. I was like, not even like I have a kasha. I just don't understand the story. I don't understand what's going on. You know, and like, okay, I also have some kashas. You know, here and there, like, as you people raised a lot of questions. I have things here and there I don't understand. But like, this was just something where I felt like, I just am not getting this. I'm clearly just like the ikar of the story. It's just, I'm just not getting it. I don't know what's going on here, right? So that's question number one that I want to raise. Question number two is a much smaller, more subtle question. And I'm not going to say that if you don't have an answer to the second one, that you don't understand the story. If you don't understand, if you don't have an answer to the first one, I think it means it's a symptom of fundamentally not understanding what the whole point of the story is. The second question is stam, a nuance in the story, and it's not any more important than anything else that was raised. But I want to just put it on the table because I think it's so interesting. Did everyone notice that there is a detail, a tiny, tiny detail that runs through the whole story that seems to be unnecessary, it seems to be unimportant, and even arbitrary, and yet it keeps on coming up again and again? Yeah? Okay, that's interesting. That, I think, is more an important part of this. I understand why that's in the story, I think. I think that's really necessary, but there's something that seems very arbitrary, it seems very irrelevant. In this story, in Perakov, the piece from Yudchet, you know, this little piece from Yudchet to Membet, there's a little detail that keeps on coming up.
Does it mention about
people's statuses and our relationships to each other?
Well, that I think is the foundation of the whole story, and that's what it's about, is what the relationship of the...
Doesn't it mention that Yonatan talks about Shaul's son quite
a... Right, but that I think is very important, right? It's a tremendous chiddush here that Yonatan is putting David before his father, right? I mean, there's much more to it than that, but that's at least part of it. We'll try and delve into it more. There's a little detail from beginning to the end of the story. What's going on? I don't expect you're going to get aside, but I don't know. It just intrigued me. What's this whole business of the number three here? Why? What is all this stuff about the number three? In other words, it takes place on the third day. Okay, Beseder, that has something to do with the story, although why it's emphasized. But then that's in Pasuk Yutet. The Shulashtat Tirid Me'od, right? Talk about what's going to happen on the third day. Okay, Pasuk Chav, the next Pasuk. Va'ani shloshet hachitzim tzida oreh l'shloach li lamatara. What's the significance of the fact that there are three arrows? Would it change anything in the story if he shot two arrows, or seven arrows, or four arrows? And especially when it comes mamash right after v'shilashta tered ma'od, you know, so if I only had Pasuk Yutet, I would say, okay, man, that's part of the story, that, you know, the first day is... No, it's the second day, the third day is when... I understand it a little bit. But here I have, it's on the third day, and then they're shooting Davka three arrows, which seems to be totally irrelevant. And then you go to Pasuk Mem Aleph, and there's where I'm absolutely convinced that there's something going on. Vayishtachu shalosh pa'amim, right? I need to know how many times they bow down to each other. Isn't that a little bizarre, right? Like, they bow down to each other three times. It's not normal, right? First of all, it's not even normal that, you know, I can't think of any other case where people, you know, there are many places where people greet each other, and amongst other things, they bow down to each other. But three times particularly, and like, why are we told that? And we have here three times in this story that we're told about, you know, something about the number three. And in at least two of the cases, we can argue about the first, but at least two of the cases, it's really, really thoroughly arbitrary and insignificant. I suspect that there's a significance to it. Now, I'm going to give you a theory about why it's significant. I may be totally off and crazy about what I think. I can't prove it to Hughes out. I just have a theory. But I think it's interesting. Yes, Abba, what do you want to say?
Is it maybe possible that, like, three is in a chazakah? And like, yeah, no.
Could be.
Like a chazaka, so like,
yeah.
When it's like a chazaka, like, you know, like, it's usually going to be like that. So like, when it's in 3 hours, he's like, it's for sure on test. Or like, I mean, he doesn't end up doing that, which is whatever. But then like the third day, like, he's not coming. Like, and like the three times bowing, like, this is it. You'll say, yeah.
That's a very lumdish answer. Okay, I hear. Maybe. Look, I don't know. Maybe. It's a theory. I also only have a theory. I don't know. Okay, maybe. Yeah?
Is it
So it establishes a pattern already.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I hear it more by the 3 days, but like, you know, a little hard for me to understand why it's significant that he's shooting three arrows. Why we need to be told that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Could there be like practical explanations for the three of them, and then like, I mean, I don't have any suggestions, but like,
there could be. But the question is, why is this significant detail to tell us? Right? You know, there are an infinite number of details when this takes place. Right? It could tell us about, you know, what color clothing Yonatan was wearing. But it's not going to tell us that because there's nothing to do with it. We don't need to know that. You know what I'm saying? There's so much that it could tell us. It could tell us what they served at this feast on Rosh Chodesh. But we don't need to know what was on the menu. You know what I'm saying? There's so many things it could tell us. I understand it's significant that they're shooting the arrows, but significant how many arrows they shoot?
I mean, like, maybe it's something with archery that, like, three, they'll go straight, but
right.
Two, they'll veer. I don't know.
It is possible, but I'm saying, well, no, you know what I'm saying? But like, well, why? Okay, I don't know. Maybe. But when I see it three times, I see it three times in the same little story, right? Three times.
Yeah.
I have a much more down-to-earth explanation, but okay. Much more down-to-earth explanation. And I think that someone really hit on it. As I said before, the story here is a story about relationships, right? That's the essence of the story. This is about relationships, about the relationship between David and Shaul, the relationship between Shaul and David, the relationship between Yonatan and David, and vice versa. Between Shaul and Yonatan, and vice versa. And it seems to me that if you think about it, three is a very, very powerful symbol of what the story is about. In other words, this story on a certain level is about a triangular relationship. It's about a triangle. Right? It's about a three-way relationship, meaning that if there were only two people involved, right? In other words, when you only have two people involved, relationships are relatively simple. When there are only two people involved, so it's rather straightforward. The relationship in isolation between Yonatan and Shaul would be very simple and straightforward. We have just a father and son, a son and father, would be very, very simple and straightforward. The relationship between Yonatan and David is very simple and straightforward. You have Yonatan and David, and they're good friends and very nice. The relationship between you know, David and Shaul is obviously more complex, but fundamentally, you know, again, they have a defined relationship, whatever. But what's interesting here is that we don't have a simple linear relationship, or even, you know, separate different linear relationships, but we have a complicated relationship. What complicates it is the interaction of the three parties. That when you put David and Yonatan and Shaul together, then it already gets very complicated. Understand what I'm saying? It's a suggestion. I can't prove that that's why there's number three here, but it seems to me that it has a very, you know, a very powerful symbolic meaning. You know, in the context of this, I think that, you know, there's a good reason why the Navi would emphasize it. Okay, you can take it or leave it. It's not important for anything else we're going to discuss. I just want to put it out there as an observation, a footnote. Take it or leave it. We can go with, you know, whatever explanation you like. I just wanted to point out, it seems to me an interesting thread in the story. Okay, what I'd like to do is, everyone understands, though, the big problem that I have, right? How the two halves of the story fit together, what's happening, why don't they stick to the plan? What's the significance of not sticking to plan? What's the significance of the plan in the first place if they anyhow don't end up doing it? Right, that's all really different sides of one question. I mean, it's not a bunch of questions. It's one question, but I just don't get it. This whole thing with the plan and what they end up doing, and, I'll tell you, I spent a long time on this. I was very, very confused, it's very strange. If in the end of the day they end up just having a normal conversation, discussing the situation, what do we need a whole, you know, complex code for? What does that do for us? So I'm going to throw that question at you and ask you to think about it. But in addition to thinking about that question, I'm going to ask you to please learn also Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Chet. Okay, Parak Yud Chet. And also, and I know I'm going out of order, I'm doing this deliberately, in addition to Yud Chet, please also take a quick look at Yud Zayin. Quick look at Yud Zayin when you finish Yud Chet. So the priorities are, again, Chaf, the second half of Chaf, Yud Chet, and then a little bit Yud Zayin. Okay? So please look at that now. Think about the question I asked you, like you try to formulate an answer, and we're going to discuss it. But for the moment, I want you to just think about it.